You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
One of the great joys of my ministry has been pronouncing a bride and groom to be husband and wife. As they hold their hands, I put my hand on top of theirs, and I say, "Now that, whatever their names are, have consented together in holy marriage, have given themselves to each other by their solemn pledges, and have declared the same before God and these witnesses, I pronounce them to be husband and wife, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Before God and these witnesses, the words read, those aren't my words. They're words that have been used for many generations. Before God and these witnesses, those words give the lie to the notion that marriage is nobody's business except the people being married. Weddings and marriage are not simply the business of bride and groom. Weddings and marriage are before God and these witnesses. First of all, a marriage is before God. That's important because every day of life in marriage and home is lived before God. Sure, you can't see God, the unseen visitor in every home, goes the old phrase, but marriage and home life is lived before God. God united the first married couple, Adam and Eve. God established marriage. It's not a byproduct of some evolutionary development. Nor is marriage something whose definition, one man and one woman, can be changed by a permissive society. Marriage is first and foremost before God. He instituted it, and this is very important, He wants to be there with every bride, every groom, every home. Permit me to tell you about one biblical character whose marriage and home was lived before God and these witnesses. Joshua lived in the Old Testament. He was successor to Moses. You remember Moses? He led the children of Israel out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, through the Sinai Desert for 40 years, and to the edge of the Promised Land. But Moses didn't lead Israel into the Promised Land. That fell to his successor, Joshua, to do. And Joshua did it. When Joshua came to the end of his life, he gathered together the leaders of Israel. He spoke to them. Joshua reminded them of all the things that God had done for them. He reminded them of their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God had singled them out for blessings, and He had made them a numerous people. Joshua reminded the leaders of Israel how God had sent Moses and Aaron to rescue the people when they were slaves in Egypt. And when they had come out of Egypt, God had been with them through all the dangers in the Sinai Peninsula and in all their occupation of the promised homeland, Canaan. This rehearsal of all of God's goodness led up to the climax of Joshua's speech. Joshua said, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua knew that God was interested in his home. Why else had God redeemed Joshua's family and all the families of Israel? God was, and God still is, interested in marriage and home life. Especially yours. God has redeemed us all. That's not only true of new brides and grooms, the people who stand before altars in these June wedding days. God has also redeemed brides and grooms of years gone by, you who are experienced at marriage and know it well. But God's redemption goes even farther. Some of you have marriages that failed. There are many divorced people in the society. There are many single-parent homes. Now, maybe there was a time when most families were like Ward and June Cleaver on the old TV show, Leave It to Beaver. In so many ways, those days are gone. Be that as it may, God's interest in home life hasn't changed since the 50s and the Cleavers, and His redeeming love for you has not changed from the days of Joshua. His love for brides and grooms is centered in Jesus Christ. God sent Jesus into the world to redeem us. You remember? God brought Israel out of slavery, out of the desert, and into a new homeland. That redemption of Israel foreshadowed the way that Jesus Christ brings us out of the terrible divisiveness of sin, and He brings us into a new homeland, a place of forgiveness, a place of love, and a place of hope. God has redeemed each one of us from sin. Sin is not simply our faults and shortcomings. Brides and grooms eventually learn each other's shortcomings, the way you squeeze the tube of toothpaste, the way you keep the checkbook, the snoring, the food that's been in the back of the refrigerator for at least 100 years, that confounded silence when there are things we ought to be talking about. These irritations are not the essence of sin. Sin is your inborn hostility to God. Sin is making your own laws and ways in life and not submitting to God's ways. Sin is the most divisive force in the world. It has separated us from God, and it separates us from one another. Every divorce can be traced to sin. Every troubled marriage is troubled by sin. Every good marriage has its bumps because of sin. And every Christian marriage is threatened by sin and so needs a Savior. Now, whether your marriage is like the Cleavers of the 50s or shows all the stresses, strains, and effects of 1990s living, God has redeemed us all by the Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus was sent into our world to forgive our sins and to take a people who are divided by sin and make us a people united by faith. The united people of Jesus are called the church. The people of the church are sinners, but we are forgiven. We are prone to be selfish because of our innate sinfulness, but Christ's model of sacrificial love keeps reminding us to live for others rather than to live selfishly for ourselves. The fact that Jesus went so far as to die on the cross to forgive each one of us is a reminder not to be preoccupied with our own rights. I mean, if Jesus sacrificed His rights for us, we certainly can forego our rights in order to love and serve others. Sin divides us. Christ, who died and rose again for each of us, is able to unite us. St. Paul described Jesus' redeeming love this way, in Ephesians chapter 4, "Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, to make the church holy, by using water together with the Word to wash her clean. He did this so that He could present her to Himself as a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle or any other such thing. Yes, He did this so that she might be holy and without fault." Jesus did all of that for you. Sure, your home and marriage isn't perfect. None is. That's why there is a Savior. And that's why you can vow today to say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Marriage is before God, but marriage is also before witnesses, before other people. This past March 29th, my in-laws, Jim and Jeanette Ermler, observed their 50th wedding anniversary. They're wonderful people, and their anniversary get-together was a great time. They had an open house at St. Paul's Church in Villa Park, and then a gathering at their home. Friends and family came, some who had been at the wedding, some who weren't. Some were there only because Jim and Jeanette's wedding brought them into the world. The point is this: marriage is a very social institution. John Donne said, "No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main." Unlike the fine example of my in-laws, today there's an epidemic of people living together without being married. "Oh, we love each other," they always say, but we want to see if we are compatible. We didn't want to make a mistake. Well, I believe that you don't want to make a mistake. But is living together really a good preparation for marriage? In living together, you make no public vows to God or to society. You do not publicly declare your love and allegiance, as Joshua did, as married couples do. In living together, you present yourselves and society with a 50-50 relationship. But God never intended marriage to be 50-50. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's 100% self-sacrifice. In living together, you never publicly give yourself to the person you love. It's always private, never a permanent commitment. Sometimes people joke about holy wedlock, but I think it's nice that people have locked themselves into a public commitment to one another. No, living together is not a good preparation for marriage. In fact, it creates some very false attitudes about being husband and wife. Did you ever stop to think about the fact that the government issues a marriage license? Hundreds of times I've told the bride and groom, "Be sure to give me the license before the wedding. I cannot perform the ceremony without it." I've had some close calls, but the bride and groom always brought me that piece of paper from the county government, the piece of paper that authorized the wedding. And when we had gone through the ceremony, witnesses had to sign that marriage license. That marriage license is more than just a piece of paper. It's a reminder that marriage is not only before God, but also before society. Every one of us has a stake in marriage. And so blessed marriages benefit us all. Whether Joshua or you, whether like the Cleavers or a home of the 90s, your faith in the Savior, or your denial of the Savior and you're going alone in life, has consequences for other people. Your wedding, your marriage, your home life. The way you cope with your problems, the way you explain a failed marriage, these all have effects on the people around you. The Spirit of Jesus can make your situation a blessing to all. The Spirit brings blessings within and without the home. He can quiet the arguments of your home. He can heal the hurts. He can deepen the love. If you look at your husband or wife simply through your own eyes, it's normal to sometimes feel anger, resentment, and hurt. But look at your husband or wife through the eyes of Jesus. Your husband, your wife is a person for whom Jesus died and now lives. Christ denied himself totally so that your husband, your wife, could have love, forgiveness, hope. Looking at one another through the eyes of Christ brings a whole different perspective to marriage and home life. There are too many times when husbands and wives get hung up in arguments about who is right. In Christian marriage, there is only one who is right, and that is not the husband, that is not the wife, it is God. God's word for husbands and wives is forgiveness through Jesus Christ. That Spirit of Christ prompts us to tell the world publicly, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That love between husband and wife can carry over into public life. That's what happens in public marriage vows and ceremonies. And that's what should happen every day in your home. The Spirit of Christ's love influences society around you. You are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. Mr. William Bennett was Secretary of Education and more recently the Drug Czar of the United States. He recently wrote this: "There is no Patriot missile for the social and domestic problems of welfare, education, poverty, unwed mothers, and child abuse, with a possible exception of a massive infusion of sound moral values. We need to relearn that these problems require not a program launched from Washington, but matters of the heart and soul of family, church, neighborhood, and school, of habit and character. Indeed, that is what we need today. You and your home life can provide it to our society. Whether you are a new bride and groom, or married 50 years, whether you're alone or a single parent, whatever your marital status, your home life can help provide our society with love and forgiveness and hope. Not that you create these fine qualities. No, love, forgiveness, and hope, these come from the Creator to you through the Spirit of Christ. From you, they go out as a witness to your family, your neighborhood, your community. People look at you, and people can hear and see your public profession. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen.